This message is presented to you by Pastor David Lambert and Exceed Life Church in Virginia Beach, Virginia. For more information, visit exceedlifechurch.org.
Well, this is Healing Sunday. Glory to God. And I like to focus my message on healing and deliverance. And I'm telling you, sometimes when we get into this walk in Christ, we don't have it all together. Have you noticed that? And sometimes we are dealing with issues and situations that seem to keep us down. But I want to let you know that Jesus paid the price for us to be set free of any bondage, any disease, anything that would try to come against us. Amen. Do you believe that today? Amen. I like the word Zoe. Zoe means the God kind of life. And I really believe that we as Christians should be living that God kind of life. Another word is shalom. Has anybody ever heard that word shalom? That means nothing missing, nothing broken, complete wholeness. And that's what God wants us walking in. He wants us walking in freedom in every area of our lives. Do you believe that today? Jesus said it this way in John 8:36. He says, "Therefore, if the Son makes you free, you shall be free indeed." So Jesus, somebody say, Jesus is my bondage breaker. Amen. Do you believe that today? So Jesus can break any bondage in our life. And in 2 Corinthians 3:17, it says where the Lord is the Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. So God has given us liberty through the power of the Holy Spirit. How many people have the Holy Spirit residing on the inside? If you receive Jesus, you have the Holy Spirit residing on the inside of you. And this is one of my favorite scriptures on being free, because we're talking about freedom this morning. And I like this. It says here, Romans 8:2, it says, "For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made me free from the law of sin and death." So what are you free from? You're free from the law of sin and death. Amen? And so you're free from anything that will try to hinder you from walking this abundant life that Jesus paid for us to have. But you got to believe it. Somebody say, "I believe it." Amen. So we can be free from sin, sickness, and spiritual death. Amen? I like what it says in Galatians 3:13. It's talking about Jesus. It says, "Christ purchased our freedom and redeemed us from the curse of the law and its condemnation by becoming a curse for us. For it is written, 'Cursed is everyone who hangs or crucified on the tree.'" So I love this. So Christ purchased our freedom because he became a curse on the tree in order for us to walk in the blessings of God. Jesus became a curse so that we can be blessed. Can somebody get excited about that? Amen? I like that. Jesus became a curse. In other words, Jesus became sin on the cross so that we could have freedom in Jesus Christ. It was the great transference. Amen? He transferred our sin and we transferred his righteousness onto us. Somebody say, "I have right standing with the Lord." Amen. And so this means that you can walk in the blessing of Abraham. And Abraham walked in the blessing of relationship with God. He walked in divine health. And he was very prosperous. And so we are actually the seed of Abraham. And so we have the same blessing, but even more because we're in Christ Jesus. Amen? What did Jesus set us free from? Amen. What did he come to do? In Luke 4:18 and 19, this is Jesus and his sermon. And I believe he's preached this sermon wherever he went. He says, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he has anointed me and he has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, to recover sight to the blind, to set at liberty those who are oppressed, and to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord." So I love that. So he came to really set the people that are impoverished, He came to set us free from poverty, glory to God. He came to heal our broken hearts. Has anybody ever had a broken heart in here? Well, God can heal your broken heart. You must give it to Him. He came to set the liberty those that are captives, that are held in bondage. He came to open blind and spiritual eyes. He's opening blind and spiritual eyes every day. Amen? Through His Word, through His Spirit. And he has came to set at liberty those who are oppressed or who are sick. These are the blessings that Jesus came to give each one of us. He came to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord. That's a great saying, because we are in the acceptable year of the Lord. We are in the age of grace. You are under grace this morning. Jesus is our grace. Amen. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow you all the days of your life, and you shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Amen. Let's look at Jesus' mission here. In John 10:10, Jesus gives the mission of the devil, and Jesus gives the mission of Himself. He says, "The thief does not come except to steal, kill, and to destroy. But I came that you may have life, and that you may have it," what? "More abundantly." So we see here that the devil's mission is to steal, kill, and to destroy. What does disease and sickness, what does it do? It steals, it kills, and it destroys our lives. What does sin do? It steals, kills, and destroys our life. And Jesus came to give us what? That abundant life in Jesus. Glory to God. So we can have that abundant life. So I'm going to talk to you about walking in a couple spiritual forces. And these spiritual forces can help us walk the abundant life. Amen? First, I want to talk to you about the spiritual force of faith. Somebody say faith. And let's look at the definition of faith, because faith is the key. Last time I preached on healing, I talked a lot about God's mercy. And God's mercy is another key to walking in healing, glory to God. God, healing is a mercy gift from God. Amen. And God is always looking to give people mercy. The Bible says His mercies are renewed every morning. So He's a merciful. They cried out to Jesus. The blind Bartimaeus cried out, "Have mercy on me." And in the mercy of Jesus, He gave him his sight. Glory to God. But today I want to focus a little bit more on faith. Amen. And faith is a key to bringing in the promises of God into our lives. And so I like this definition of faith. It says, "Now faith is the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not seen." So faith brings in the substance of what you're believing God to do in your life. That substance is healing. Can I get a witness in the house today? That substance might be, you might need some financial blessings in your life. That substance can mean finances. Whatever you're believing God to do, faith is the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not seen. So I like what it says in Hebrews 11:3, "But faith, we understand, the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that the things which are seen were not made of things which are visible." So God operates in faith, and He created all things through faith. Amen. So I love that. So all things are possible through believing God. And so let's look at the plumb line of faith this morning. And this is powerful. It says, "Without faith, it's impossible to please Him. For he who comes to God must believe that He is, and that He's a rewarder of those who diligently seek Him." So faith begins by believing that God is a good God. I'm going to say it again. Faith begins by believing that God is good. Somebody say, God is good. And that God wants to reward those that seek Him. God's not only good, but He's a rewarder. He wants to bless us. He wants to bless us with abundant life. And God's grace in our lives, activated by our faith in Him, can bring the blessings of God in our lives. Now, I want to give you a story this morning of a lady that operated in faith and how she received the blessings of God in her life. And this is a story about a lady that was sick for many years. And we're going to read her account. In Mark 5, 25 and 34, it says, "Now a certain woman who had a flow of blood for 12 years and had suffered many things from many physicians." You know, it's bad enough to suffer with disease and sickness, but it's also another level of suffering is suffering from physicians. Amen. You don't want to be suffering from physicians. She suffered from physicians as well as the disease. Now I respect doctors and nurses. They have their place. Thank God for them. A lot of Christians wouldn't be here without them, but they're not the main thing. Jesus is our great physician. Now, doctors and nurses, they can add to the blessings of God, but they're not Jesus. And they can only go so far, and so far in this lady's life, she suffered many things for 12 years, even with physicians trying to cure her. She had spent all that she had and was no better, but rather she grew worse. Can somebody say that's a bad situation to be in? In other words, she exhausted all her resources. In other words, when you come to the end of yourself, that's where you come to the beginning of God. When you come to the end of yourself, that's when you get to the beginning of God. Can I get a witness in the house today? So when she heard about Jesus, she came behind Him in a crowd and touched His garment. For she said, "If only I may touch His clothes, I shall be made well." Immediately the fountain of her blood was dried up, and she felt in her body that she was healed of the affliction. And Jesus, immediately knowing in Himself that power has gone out of Him, turned around in the crowd and said, "Who touched my clothes?" But His disciples said to Him, "You see the multitudes thronging you, and you say, 'Who touched me?'" And He looked around to see who had done this thing. But the woman, fearing and trembling, knowing what had happened to her, came and fell down before Him and told Him the whole truth. And He said to her, "Daughter, your faith has made you well. Go in peace. Be healed of your affliction." Now, this is interesting because Jesus could have said it a lot of different ways. He could have said, "My power has made you well. My anointing has made you well." No. He focused on something different. He said, "Daughter, it was your faith that made you well." I'm going to say this to you this morning. If her faith can make her well, your faith can make you well. Amen. I'm going to say that again. If her faith can make, and this is back in the before He was resurrected, before we have all the promises of God, if her faith in Jesus could make her well, what can our faith in Jesus do? First of all, the key to her receiving her healing and deliverance, and this will be the same key for you, hearing is the first key to her healing. Hearing. Amen? The Bible says that multitudes came to Jesus to hear and be healed of their afflictions. Just hearing the word of God can set you free. Can I get a witness in the house today? Notice she heard about Jesus, that He was going around healing and delivering people. She had to hear that He was setting people free for her to go to Jesus. Amen. So you must hear that Jesus paid the price for your healing to activate your healing. You must know that Jesus is the healer. He's not the Jesus of "I was." He's the Jesus of "I am." Amen. And some churches may preach, You know, healing has passed away with the last apostle, but I'm going to say it's here today. Jesus is still healing today. Jesus is still doing miracles today. You must have faith in the healing power of Jesus working in your lives. Jesus. Say, I have faith in Jesus. So in 1 Peter 2:24, it says, who himself bore our sins on his own body on a tree, that we, having died to sins, might live to righteousness, by whose stripes you were healed. Say, I was. Amen. So that's looking back at the cross. So Peter was looking back at the cross, and he was saying, by Jesus' stripes, you were healed. So the first key to receiving faith in your life is that you got to hear the word of God. In Romans 10:17, it says, faith comes by hearing, and hearing, not by having heard. That's the reason why I like to preach faith and healing every month, because you have to keep hearing it to receive it. Amen. Don't turn me off because you've heard these scriptures before. Keep listening, because God can do something. Even if you heard the scripture 100th time, the word can be effective in your life. So we see here, hearing is a key, and the multitudes came. In Luke 5, I believe, it said that multitudes came to hear and to be healed. Number two, saying is the next key to our healing. If you're gonna have healing in your life, you got to speak something. In other words, your voice is your address in the realm of the Spirit. And so your voice, really, your healing is faith activated. It's voice activated. And she said, if I may only touch his clothes, I may be healed. So she spoke that out, if I could touch his clothes. So she had faith in touching Jesus' garment. And so she said that, and she must have said that over and over again before she came to Jesus. If I could just touch the hem of his garment, I shall be made whole. If I could just get to church, if I could just get that pastor to pray for me, if I could just get somebody to agree with me in prayer, if I could just get this, it will happen for my life. Hallelujah. See, you have to be sure that when hands are laid on you, the Bible teaches that healing will go forth into your bodies. Say, I believe that. And so I'm going to say this, saying, not only hearing, is a vital part to our faith. In Mark 11:23, it says, for surely I say to you, whoever says to the mountain, be removed, be cast into the sea, and does not doubt in his heart, but believes those things he says, it will be done, and he will have whatsoever he says. Glory to God. So this is telling me that whoever says to the mountain, in other words, don't talk to God how big your mountain is. Talk to the mountain how big your God is. Amen. Amen. Because a lot of times we're talking to God about how big our mountain is. We're talking to God about what our problems are. We're focusing more on the problems of our life than the promises of God. And you gotta flip the script. You gotta focus more on the promises than on the problems of life. So we see here that she heard, that she spoke, and the third key is you're going to have to act on your faith to make your faith work. Amen? It says here, when she heard about Jesus in Mark 5:27, she came behind him in the crowd and touched his garment. In other words, she pressed through the crowd. She acted on her faith. She said, if I could just touch the hem of his garment. And she followed through and she touched him. Glory to God. And what was interesting was that many people were touching Jesus that day, but she got Jesus' attention. Why? Because she touched Jesus with faith. And I'm going to say this, a lot of people are trying to grasp and get something from the Word of God, but you got to get it with faith. Amen? Amen? Can I get a witness in the house today? Amen. I like what it says in James, because James is the book of wisdom. And he says it here, talking about that your faith has to be acted upon. He says here in James 2:14, what does it profit, my brethren, if someone says he has faith but does not have works? Can that faith save him? That's interesting. A lot of people say they're believers, but do they have any corresponding action to their faith? Are they truly walking with Jesus? They say they're believers, but they don't have a church home. They say they're believers, but they don't have a Bible. They say they're believers, but they're not in relationship with other believers. I don't know if their faith can, if that kind of faith can save them. Amen. I know we're saved by grace, not by works, lest any man should boast, but we're saved to do good works, and we're saved to operate in faith. Amen. Believing. If you're a believer, you're a doer. I'm going to say it again. If you're a believer of the word, you are a doer of the word. Amen. Boy, this is going over like a lead balloon this morning. Hallelujah. Somebody say, I'm a doer of the word. In James 2:26, it says this, for as the body without the spirit is dead, so faith without works is also dead. Amen. This reminds me of Brother Hagin that was sick, and he was a young man. I believe he was 16 at the time, and he was in bed for 16 months. And he kept praying and speaking that he was healed. And the Lord spoke to him, and the Holy Spirit spoke to him that one morning. And he said, healed people are normally up at 10 o'clock in the morning, unless you're retired. unless you're retired. Healed people are normally up at 10 o'clock in the morning. And so he kept believing. He said, Lord, I believe that I'm healed by faith. And the Holy Spirit said, if you truly believe that you're healed, you would get out of this bed. Okay, see, he was in bed saying that he was healed, but he wasn't activating his faith. He wasn't getting up and busting a move. Are you hearing what I'm saying today? He wasn't getting up, busting. He was in bed, I'm healed, I'm healed, I'm healed. And he said, God, I believe I'm healed by faith. I'm speaking your word. And the Holy Spirit said, if you truly believe you're healed, you'll get out of that bed. And so what did he do? He pushed himself. He was half paralyzed. It took faith for him to push his dead legs over the bed. And he mustered all his strength to get up and stand up. And by the grace, he said, and when he stood up, the power of God hit him. And it was like honey, he explained. And it went on the top of his head, all the way down his feet. And he said that his body was strengthened. And God instantly healed him. Why? Because he acted in faith, and faith without works is dead. So you got to have some works behind your faith. Can I get a witness in the house today? If you truly believe, coming to church, you'll be blessed. You'll show up. Amen. Amen. You'll show up. Glory to God. If you truly believe, reading the Word of God will give you more life, you read your Bible. If you believe praying will get you connected to God, you'll be a prayer warrior. You'll be a prayer, glory to God. And so I love that. So we see here some keys. We see here that hearing is a key. Speaking is a key. Acting is a key. And then another key to receiving your healing is receiving. You have to learn to receive your healing by faith. It says in Mark 5:29, immediately the fountain of her blood was dried up, and she felt in her body that she was healed of that affliction. Therefore, so this is the key. You have to learn to receive the healing power of God. Listen, just because people don't get healed doesn't mean it's not God's will to heal them. Amen. A lot of people equate God's will to people not getting healed. But just because that would be like saying, because a person doesn't get saved, it's not God's will to heal all or to save all. The Bible says he's not willing that no one perish, but all come to repentance, to the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Just because people don't get saved doesn't mean it's not God's will to get them saved. And just because people don't get healed doesn't mean it's not God's will for them to be healed. It may not be the problem in the transmitting part of it. It may be in the receiving part of it. The transmitter has no problem. The transmitter of heaven has no problem, but the receiver might have issues. Have you ever been in your car and you're traveling and you're listening to a beautiful song and all of a sudden static starts coming in? and then you're trying to tune your tuner to get that song back, and all of a sudden it switches to talk radio. Oh, you hear what I'm saying today? And it switches to a whole new channel. Amen. What you need to do is you need to tune your channel to healing. Amen. You need to tune it to salvation, to deliverance. You need to learn to tune it. Amen. In Mark 11, 24, it says, "Therefore I say to you, whatever things you ask when you pray, believe that you receive them and you will have them." So how do we activate our receiver? We have to believe that we receive it before we see it. That's how you activate your receiver in God. And then the next key is that you got to testify. Can I get it? And I love people that testify, not about their problems, about God's goodness and His promises. It says here, "But the woman, fearing and trembling, knowing what had happened to her, came and fell down before him and told him the whole truth." So this is the key to keeping your healing and tell people that God has healed you. If God has healed you, testify. That's how you enforce the healing in your life. In other words, don't keep it a secret. Amen. Don't keep it a secret. Don't be secret service Christians. Amen. Let people know. Don't be undercover Christians. Amen. Let people know that God has healed you. In Revelation 12, 11 says, "And they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony, and they did not love their lives unto the death." So here, we overcome who? The devil. We can overcome sickness through what? The blood of the Lamb and the word of our testimony. I want to talk to you about another story here in Matthew, and this is about a centurion, and I'm going to read it to you. It says, "Now when Jesus entered Capernaum, a centurion came to him, pleading with him, saying, 'Lord, my servant is lying at home, paralyzed, dreadfully tormented.' And Jesus said to him, 'I will come and heal him.' And the centurion answered and said, 'Lord, I am not worthy that you should come under my roof, but only speak the word, and my servant will be healed. For I'm also a man under authority, having soldiers under me. And I say to this one, go, and he goes, and to another, come, and he comes. And to my servant, do this, and he does it.' When Jesus heard it, he marveled and said to those who followed, 'Surely I say to you, I have not found such great faith, not even in Israel.'" Now that's an indictment with his disciples standing around, because this man's not even a Jew. And he's saying, "Man, this is great faith." He's saying, "This is great faith right here. Guys, boys, check this out. This is great faith." Great faith is taking God at His word. It's believing God no matter what the circumstances look like. "Then Jesus said to the centurion, 'Go your way. As you have believed, so let it be done to you.' And his servant was healed that same hour." So we see here faith in believing that God can do the impossible, and taking God at His word is the highest form of faith. Amen? And some of us are struggling with issues in our life, but you must focus on the promise and not the problems of life. Amen? Stop asking God to do something that He has already done in your life. Jesus has already paid the price to heal you, and He paid that price 2,000 years ago. And so we have to continue to focus on that. In Isaiah 53, 4 and 5, it says, "Surely he has borne our griefs and carried our sorrows, yet we did esteem him stricken, smitten of God, afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgressions, bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and by his stripes we are healed." Notice it says he was wounded for our transgressions and bruised for our iniquities. That means he took care of our sin problem. Amen. Notice he was chastised for our peace. That means he took care of our fears. You don't have to have anxiety. You don't have to have worry. Why? Because Jesus took care of it on the cross. You can walk peaceful, free of anxiety, free of worry, because Jesus paid for it. And by his stripes, we are healed. Notice the last part, by his stripes, we are healed. This is present tense. If you're going to have your faith work in your life, you got to make it a present tense faith. You can't say, I'm going to get healed sometime, some way. I'm going to be set free. No, you have to say it. I'm getting set free today. Can I get a witness in the house today? In Hebrews 11, it says, now faith is. Faith is always in the now. It's never pushed out into the future. Can I get a witness in there? Now faith is. Again, now faith is the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not seen. So we understand this faith principle of calling things that be not as though they were. There was a man that came to a preacher and he had a cigarette problem. He was a smoker. And the preacher told him this is what he could do to be set free. He said, just keep saying, I resist these cigarettes in Jesus' name. I hate cigarettes before you light up. And he would say that, I hate these cigarettes. I bind them in Jesus' name. And he would say that constantly until one day he was about ready to light up and he spoke those same words, and it must have been hundreds of times. And the power of God hit him and he felt the grace of God on his life. And he had no desire to smoke that cigarette. And God, by his power, set him free. But he spoke it over and over and over again. By Jesus' stripes, I am healed. You're going to have to keep speaking it over and over until the power of God comes into your lives. Amen? Can I get a witness in the house today? Glory to God. Hallelujah. And so I like that. So in Romans 4:17, this is how God operates. He calls those things that be not as though they were. He called Abraham. He said, I made you a father of many nations, Romans 4:17, in the presence of him who believed God, who gives life to the dead and calls those things which do not exist as though they did. Amen? So God declares the end from the beginning. And so we're going to have to declare the end from the beginning. In Isaiah 46:10, it says, declaring the end from the beginning and from the ancient times, things that are not yet done, saying, my counsel shall stand and I'll do all my pleasure. So God calls the end from the beginning. So faith is one key spiritual force that will help us receive healing, deliverance from the Lord. The second spiritual force is hope. Hope is a powerful force that works with faith. In Hebrews 11:1, it says, now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Hope is a key, a spiritual force that makes faith work. Hope is a goal setter for faith. So it would be like your thermostat on your wall. You set your thermostat to a certain degree. Either if you want it cold, I like it around 70 degrees. Amen. And so 72. Or if you want it a little warmer, you set it. You set your faith goal to what you're believing God for. That's how hope works. Hope is the vision that we focus on to get us to the finish line in faith. See, the lady with the issue of blood had a vision of being healed before she touched Jesus. She saw herself. Hope brings the vision. She saw herself being healed before she touched Jesus. She imagined in her imagination that when she was going to touch Jesus, that the power of God would come out on her and deliver her. Her hope was working to make her faith work. Amen. For she said, if I may touch his clothes, I shall be made well. Hope brings the vision of the reality of healing into our lives. We must get a vision being well even before we see our healing. The centurion had faith that Jesus could heal his servant. He must observe Jesus healing, delivering, and setting people free from disease, sickness, and demonic powers. When a centurion realized Jesus had commanding power and authority, he was able to put his faith in Jesus' word. He saw his servant being healed because he knew Jesus had commanding power and authority. Amen? I love that. So we must get a picture of healing in our lives. We must get this picture. This connects with faith. Amen? In 1 Peter 1:3, it says here, "Bless the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, according to his abundant mercy, has begotten us to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead." Hope is a living spiritual force that focuses on the reality of Jesus being resurrected and seated at the right hand of God, exercising power and dominion over the forces of evil through us believing. Now, don't ask me to say that three times fast. Amen. Hope is a living force that focuses on the resurrection Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Hope makes our faith work. Amen. Can I get a witness in the house today? Another key principle for hope, it keeps us steady in the storms of life. You see, in healing and deliverance, sometimes there's a process. Sometimes it doesn't happen just instantaneously. Sometimes you have to work through your healing. Sometimes you have to work through your deliverance. Sometimes it's a process. Has anybody realized that? Yeah. Yeah. I had a cough a few months back. Anybody remember that? And I was coughing for 6 weeks. But I kept saying, "By Jesus' stripes, I'm healed." Cough. "By Jesus' stripes, I'm healed." Cough. And you know what? The devil was trying to boast. "Oh, no, no, this cough is greater than Jesus' stripes." No, Jesus' stripes is greater than a cough. Jesus' stripes is greater than cancer. Jesus Christ is greater than depression. Jesus Christ is greater than anything that you may ever experience. And so hope it says here in Hebrews 6:19, "Hope, we have an anchor of our soul, both sure and steadfast, which enters into the presence beyond the veil." Hope is an anchor that keeps us steady in the process of receiving the promises of God in our lives. So in the processes of faith, our hope will keep us in a place where we're in a receiving mode to receive. Hope is believing God is working on our behalf, even though we haven't seen it yet. Can I get a witness in the house today? Now, I like what David had to deal with a lot of stuff, King David. He went through a lot of stuff in his life. And I like this psalm. It says, "I would have lost heart unless I believed that I would see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living." What does the devil want you to do? Lose heart in the process of your healing. And he says here, "Wait on the Lord. Be of good courage, and he shall strengthen your heart. Wait on the Lord." And I know you're saying today, "Pastor, I've been waiting. I've been waiting on the Lord." Amen. You're telling me to wait a little bit longer. No, I'm saying that as you wait on the Lord, he shall encourage you, he will strengthen you, and he will bring you to the next level in your faith walk with God. So hope is believing that there are better days ahead. I'm going to say this, that where you're at today is subject to change. Amen. And there's better days ahead. You must believe that. You may be dealing with issues. You might be dealing with problems. But I'm going to stand on Jeremiah 29:11. "For I know the plans that I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans to prosper you and not to harm you, to give you a hope." Notice that, a hope and a future. Glory to God. You must believe that there's better days. This is not as good as it's going to get. Amen. As good as it gets. I think there's a movie called "As Good as It Gets." Amen. No, there's better days ahead. So we discovered two powerful spiritual forces that will bring healing and deliverance to your lives. Faith and hope. So let me close with this one last scripture. "Now faith is a substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not seen." Did you receive it this morning? Let's bow our heads in prayer. Father, I thank you that we have faith and hope working in our lives. I thank you, Lord God, through faith and hope, we can obtain the promises of God. I thank you, Lord God, for those that are listening, those that are watching. Perhaps you've never put your hope in Jesus Christ. Well, today is the day of salvation. And I would like to lead you in a simple prayer. If you're ready to do that, just say this: Dear God, I believe Jesus died on the cross for my sins. I believe Jesus was raised from the dead to save me. Jesus, I receive you as my Lord and Savior. Thank you for saving me. And Heavenly Father, fill me with your Holy Spirit. In Jesus' name, amen. If you prayed that for the first time, we believe you got born again. Stay connected with Exceed Life Church. If you're watching locally, come on out, be a part of Exceed Life Church. We would love for you to be a part of it. And if you're not here locally, find a good church home that will help you grow in your faith. Amen. And keep tuning in every week. Glory to God.
We thank you for listening to this message. For more information, visit us at exceedlifechurch.org.